Do y'all understand at least a little bit that leprosy, especially leprosy of the forehead, is the symbolism for rebellion? But rebellion from God's standpoint is the opposite of what the world thinks rebellion is. Rebellion from God's standpoint is for you to think that you have an independent thought outside of Him. Now, if this doesn't affect your life on a day-to-day basis, in every single arena, I don't know what will. You have all been living in a closet, isolated, separate, endless attempts at becoming one with anything. Now we're going to find out why.
Does it have? I don't.
Because
it seemed like there was a
person with a leprous forehead is by definition utterly cast out, alone. He can't ever be with even another leper.
So the what you're saying is that we are aware below reason that we are alone because we. Okay, and that's how we're always trying to be a member of anything.
Right.
Got it.
Now, in terms of this, I mean, we have to, now we've studied a jillion different metaphors, a jillion different types, right? We've seen the typology of a lot of things. But the one I want you to think about right now is the typology of the covenant. You have been asleep while God walked through the blood. You understand? All you know thus far is what God isn't. Now it's time that we find out what He is. Awake, Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Now that's referred to in Romans 13. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your strength. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down. Remember, I talked to you the other night about what it meant to sit down. You've got to wake up. You've got to arise to wake up. The first thing you do when you wake up is you sit down. When you sit with Him in the heavenly places until you see the enemies as your footstool. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. Anybody have any bands on their neck? To be have a band on your neck is the symbolism for being in bondage to something. How do you get out of bondage? I have heard, even as I preach against it for 12 years, I have heard 50,000 different little schemes that come out of your mouth on how to use the doctrine to get out of bondage. How to use fellowship to get out of bondage. None of them have worked. Thank God, because God would not allow even a handkerchief to be laid on the back of the heifer. You get out of bondage by one way, and one way only. You loose the bands from your neck by one way, and one way only. It is no longer I that live, but Christ. I don't struggle, I don't kick against the pricks any longer. I don't resist the divine impulse any longer. I don't give breath to any carnality any longer. I don't think of my little schemes to try to rid myself of my own bondage. I don't try to purify myself by any means. Now, until you can come to that point, you cannot hear the rest of what I'm going to say tonight. Because you have not been fed up with youthful lusts. Are you fed up? Or do you still have some stuff you want to do? Do you have any little schemes you want to try? Are you fed up? Loose thyself. You've got to take it off. You take it off by one way. It's no longer I that live. Christ can't be in bondage. Hallelujah. Resist not evil. We're going to have a Rosh Hashanah like has never been held before.
So resist not evil. What evil has come to mean is so different from what I had always thought evil was.
Amen. Does everybody understand me? Pam? Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter. Was I? For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing. Every single time you give breath to that which they give breath to, you have sold yourself and you're eating on the table of demons. Every single time you buy into that which they fear, you have sold yourself for nothing. You are they that justify yourselves among men. But God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. Are you selling yourself to anything that's common to man? If you're selling yourself to anything that's common to any other individual, that means, by definition, you have sold yourself for nothing and you're eating at the table of demons.
You mean common to somebody else?
And you cannot eat the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Now, again, I ask you, are you fed up?
What do you mean by common to
the world. Do not think, fear the things that they fear. You don't have the value systems of them. You don't desire the things that they desire. If you think you do, then go do it. But don't come, you can't come here anymore. We are taking off. I don't care if there's just one. We're not going to do this crap anymore about waiting until everybody is in agreement. That's history. That was for the wilderness. Am I communicating? If you are giving breath to anything that is common to mankind, then you're not fed up. You're still asleep. So go do it. Because we're going on. You want me to start articulating things that are common to all men?
Yeah.
What is my appearance? What is my career? Do I have enough money? Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. If you haven't reached the position, and I'm talking to this group, to stealth, if you have not reached the position where you have learned in whatsoever state you find yourself therewith to be content, you will not hear what I'm going to say tonight. If you have not learned to be abased and be content, if you have not learned to be abounding and content, if you haven't learned to be sick and be content, content meaning what? That you wouldn't trade places with one other person on the face of the universe. You have sold yourselves for nothing 100,000 times since I've known you. Now we can begin to understand some things. You cannot eat at the table of the Lord and the table of demons. It's not that you shouldn't, it's that you can't. Now, we haven't gotten to the good stuff yet. This is just review stuff. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing. And you shall be redeemed now without money. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, now. No more leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. Not by thinking you should be different than you are, but by seeing that it's him that is you. That's the vehicle by which your mind is renewed. If you can see that he is you, then it's impossible for you to have an independent thought. It's impossible for you to have a leprous forehead. And finally then, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another. fellowship is that there is, between two or more people, there are no closets. And we've rid ourselves of the earthly tabernacle. In the earthly tabernacle, there was not one place to sit down. Now we, with him, sit down until we see the enemies as our footstool. All right. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. All of you been to Egypt, right? Bunches of plagues came, you made bricks with that straw, you get out of there. And the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now who's the Assyrian? Babylon. Now some of you are still in Babylon. You love it. Because Babylon gives you identity. Hallelujah. You don't want to be in Babylon. We're going to find out why in a minute. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually, every day, is blasphemed. You all know what blasphemy is. Somebody tell me. Let me give you a better definition.
You knew you were being set up. That was the standard.
What?
Show us the standard one.
That's what I was saying.
My name continually, every day, is blasphemed.
I have a guess.
The blasphemy is any time, in any place, in any arena of your life, when you say that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh at that instant. Therefore, you desire a previous condition, he did come in the flesh, or you desire a future condition, he will come in the flesh. I.e., he is the desired one. There is something I desire from the past, or there is something I desire from the future. At that moment in time, in that arena of your life, you are blaspheming the name of God. The tie-in to what we are about to study in leprosy is that the instant, the only thing a leper can do is blaspheme. You understand? You say at some point in your thoughts, in your closet, in your soul, in your body, in relationship to other brethren, in relationship to the world, you say, it isn't finished. Now this is the most radical definition of the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit you will ever hear. Now tell me, do any of you dare blaspheme? How many of you are sitting silently and justifying yourself right now? I can feel it.
I've got a contradiction working here. I'm pretty close to you.
It's like if I find myself looking in the mirror and saying, "Well, you need to straighten up your parents a little bit." One way I hear is, "Well, if you say that, then you're not walking in Christ." But to say you're not walking in Christ is to not be walking in Christ. So it's like, to me, you don't even question it anymore.
The instant you desire, that's why repentance is continual.
Yeah.
The instant there is a propensity for you to say, "I want something different," or "I should be different than I am," the Gentiles then set about to scheme. That's what Egypt does. Babylon sets about to pray for it. The bride says, "Forgive me, Father." And the instant she says, "Forgive me, Father," the desire of the heart is manifest.
I had, until tonight, I could never understand how, if I wanted $1,000, that the desire of my heart was Christ. I could never put the two together. But just when you said what you said, I realized that everything I've ever wanted and ever gotten has turned out to be, you know, it's like it was useless. It didn't do any good at all. You know, the next week I wanted something else. And that's what clued me into what the truth is. The fact that I want $1,000 just indicates that I don't see it's perfect right now. It's just a camouflage for the fact that Christ is here now.
You're just masquerading as an angel of light. Do you see the difference? In Egypt, you scheme. You lean your, you go to the own arm of understanding to figure out how to solve the problem. In Babylon, you pray. But interestingly enough, every prayer of Babylon is the Lord's prayer in reverse, because you say amen first. You understand me? You say what you want before you say the prayer. Therefore, you're saying the amen first, and it's the Lord's prayer in reverse, and it is Babylon. The bride simply says, "Forgive me, Father." And the instant she does, it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Please understand. Does everybody agree?
Yeah.
Now do you understand the difference between Egypt or the world, or Assyria, or Babylon, and the bride?
I can see more clearly how my Egyptian way of figuring things out and coming up with a plan, usually my plan is I'll pray. My plan is somehow I'll get God to do it.
Remember, all this is tied to leprosy. We're going to see something interesting in a minute. I want you to eat what we've just talked about. It'll be sweet to your mouth, and it'll be bitter to your belly, because your belly is the seat of the appetite. You understand me? Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, or their belly, whose glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. Now can you understand why I hate those bastards on television and radio? They're blaspheming the name of God every single time they open their mouth. Now, some of you, that's all you've done thus far. You have no excuse. My name continually, every day, is blasphemed. Therefore, my people, my true people, my real people, shall now know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak always. Behold, it is I. You get what I just... Do you understand the connection? It's always him that speaks. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him, singular him. This isn't a justification for world evangelism. It's a justification for the revelation of Christ. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. What's the good tiding? The desire of your heart, the desire of all nations has come, and he's come in you. In India, he's called Krishna. They don't know it because they believed a myth. In Egypt, he's called Ra or Horus. I mean, in Egypt. I mean, he is the desired of the nations that is come. They blasphemed his name in the same way the modern church is blaspheming his name. They did not know that it was finished. Therefore, they continued on in their iniquity. The modern church does not know it's finished. Therefore, they are continuing on in their iniquity. Self-effort. In the slightest, smallest instances of your life, including down to the core of your thought life and your emotional life. Down to the deepest part of your closet. Christ isn't some moral option or something you pick and choose from the gods of your own parents and family. He is a cosmic phenomena that occurred and happened on all men. All cultures had a prophecy of him, and they all missed. They didn't recognize he is come, just like the modern church, just like the modern Judaism, just like Islam, just like they're all the same. There's no difference. And God is laughing at them. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Now you have no excuse to ever be against yourself. You can never oppose yourself again after this celebration of Rosh Hashanah.
Opposing yourself is saying at any one moment
that it's not finished.
That it's not finished. No matter if that saying is not, you look at yourself and you're empty. There's nothing about God that you can recognize whatsoever in you at the moment.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which has come upon you to try you as though some strange thing had happened. But be happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ. But let none of you suffer reproach as an evildoer. That's an act of the mind. You can't suffer. Anything you suffer is him. And the instant you recognize it's him, the reason for the suffering is taken away. It's just that instant of chastisement. Because you've gone away from the one path, the one way, the one truth. You've started to fall over here into self-realization again. You've started to fall over here into dispensation again. You've started, and you do it so religiously, so sincerely, with great swelling tears. Watch. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth.
completely. There's no area in which he isn't reigning. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together they shall they sing. For they see eye to eye. See, because they've heard. And who do they see eye to eye? The desired of the nations, the Holy One of Israel. The promise of all people, the reason for creation. And they see him at the instant they have arisen from their sleep and sat down. Amen?
And when they see him, they're like
him. And when they shall see him, they shall be like him, for they shall see him as he is. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. There's too many waste places here. I don't want any more waste places. My job is to make sure there's no more waste places. And it's better for this body if I pluck out an eye or cut off an arm than for us to continue at this point. Without mercy. You understand me?
Yeah.
Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. Has done it, past tense. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now that was all introduction. Now, depart ye. Depart ye. It's a doubling. When there's a doubling in the scriptures, you better pay attention. Depart ye. Depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste nor by flight, for the Lord will be before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. Now, you have any idea what leprosy is? You know what causes leprosy to spread? Leprosy is the only disease I know of, and I'm not a doctor, so it's the only disease I know of, that is spread by the process of fermentation. Let me tell you what fermentation is. Just happened to happen. Fermentation, by definition, is, quote, a chemical decomposition of an organic compound induced by living organisms or by chemical agents. Now, in other words, we'll get into this in great detail later, but I want to give you enough so that you know what it is. It's the process of living death. It's the process by which you, as a member of the body of Christ, are decaying as a one grape. So you are rotting as an isolated self because of what?
Because
because you have believed the lie. Now, fermentation to the spirit is wonderful, because that's the process of prophecy by which the wine is perfected. Hallelujah. But fermentation to the individual self is the evil of evils. It's the most evil thing that can happen to you, because it's living death, and you're literally being turned inside out with parts of your body dropping off. It's raw flesh turning inside out because of your rebellion, because you believe the lie.
Is it exactly the same thing that causes both processes? It's just whether
it's
on for self,
Mm-hmm. Or whether it's for the body.
So a grape that keeps its
keeps its skin on is leprous. It has to be. A grape that keeps its own covering.
Because the wine's going to get mad when the grape likes it.
You understand me? Now can you understand why leprosy is such an important thing in the scriptures? Because it's that which is the opposite of that which is the revelation of the mystery. It's the salvation of the isolated self. It's the judgment of the isolated self. It's the second guessing of the isolated self. It's the thinking the isolated self is different, therefore it can't prophesy. It's the shutting up of the isolated self. And all that leprosy does is reveal the condition of the closet. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Well, wait a minute. Before you go, I want you to look at. See, it just says to come out of the mitzvah, be ye clean, and bear it for you, etc., etc. Now, look what it says in verse 13. Behold, now look, as an example, look, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Okay, now we're looking at a guy. We're looking at the desired of the nations. And he's very high, exalted, extolled in the spirit. What do we see in the flesh? As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, yes, and his form more than the sons of man. You see? We are the offscouring of all things. We have to be, in order to be the wine, to be Israel.
Wow.
Now do you understand leprosy? Now do you understand that everything in this universe, every man on the face of the earth is leprous? It's not just that. It's now don't get settled in the lees. Remember, there were seven lees that the wine had to ferment and bubble forth. And then, whap! God comes along and whaps all that crap off the top of it. And gets poured into another lee. And he comes, whap! And it's only after the seventh lee, which are the 7 days of linear time, that the eighth day it becomes the perfect wine, the best vintage. Because the vine has suffered and never protected itself in the name of sincerity. never protected itself in the name of, oh, I don't know if I can say that or not. Oh, never protected itself, never judged what comes forth from its mouth. The greatest enemy, the greatest enemy of the process of the wine is leprosy. And the greatest revelation of leprosy is sincerity.
I don't feel like there's been a whole lot of yuck coming up to the place, but I feel like this is one of my
<It's> time.
Yeah, and it was really hurting for a while until you said what you just said. Because I was feeling like, well, I'm not supposed to be this way, I've been doing that. Oh shit, I'm screwed, I gotta go. But it's like, that's all the bullshit.
Just be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, well, I was in my mind, it was the usual, well, this is what I'm gonna tell Linda about this, and then forgive me, Father, you know, for the idea of thinking it's not finished in her. And,
about what you said about feeling empty. And I was reading here, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And we still esteem him in ourselves, stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. We don't see it, you know, what it.
You understand me? I hope you all understand. This is pretty important stuff. Now, what we're going to celebrate this Rosh Hashanah is our awakening. To us, Rosh Hashanah is the celebration of waking up and sitting down.
That's the thing that they say, Rosh Hashanah, isn't it? The awake you who have been asleep.
Shh.
That's what he's going to do.
You're still asleep right now.
That part about his visage was so marred.
More than any man.
You know, I mean, that's what we've gone through with the molten images stuff, is to see all those images of self as marred. You know, but his was marred more than any man.
So that's set in this context of the unclean. Get out, don't stop the unclean. So it's talking about leprosy. And when Christ was beaten and everything, it was like he was made to look like turned inside out, kind of, to get this effect of leprosy without actually having a physical disease. But
remember the stripes? They took pieces of flint and embedded them in the lashes. And he received 49 stripes. I mean, excuse me, 40 stripes, save one, was a legal amount. 40 would kill you. You'd be dead. He got 39. And those, I mean, just the leather itself would kind of sting a little bit. But those, the way in which they scourged was, there were pieces of that, of flint, embedded in the pieces of leather. And as the scourge came down, it ripped the flesh inside out, down to the whites of the bone. You see why I hate sincerity so much? You see why I didn't talk about this before? I couldn't talk about it until you knew you were totally leprous. Inside and out.
I'm trying to do everything but believe that. Trying to have all kinds of glory and then when there's preaching, you know, I'm faced with the reality
of my own darkness.
Now we're ready for Rosh Hashanah. Yep. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11.
Don't say they're just tabs. I got some tabs, but
verse what? 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Well, let's we have to start up. And verse, the whole thing about chapter 5 is, you remember, if we be beside ourselves, it is to God. If we're sober, it's for your cause. So if you're crazy, your God's crazy. If you're sober, if you're anything other than being concerned with someone else's, in other words, as long as there's the I motive in your life, by definition, by God's standpoint, you're crazy. You're beside yourself. You understand that? So, but even in that case, if I am beside myself, it is to God. If I am sober, it's for your case, for your cause. Then it says, love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all and we're all dead, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, etc., etc. We've studied that a million times. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and that's what we're going to celebrate, Rosh Hashanah. Totally new. Not new in time, new in kind. Not born again at a point in time, but existent from the very beginning of time. Because you're a new creation. You understand? That's what born again means. All these idiots have made it an instrument of their dispensational theology. The word born again means extant from the first estate. Now some of you don't know that yet. Born again is the phenomena of the recognition of the mind that you are a father. I have known him that is from the beginning. Always. Born again can only take place when you are in the New Jerusalem. It's not the start in Egypt. It's the end where you know that you have existed with him from before the beginning of time and space. Religion has done with that just like they do everything else.
I saw something a while ago about, you mentioned the modern church. We've always had the modern church. The modern church has existed from the beginning.
Amen. All heresies are ancient. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, old in kind. Not old in time. Old things are passed away. Old things are excremented out, urinated out. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's one of the keys of the kingdom. You can't have the key unless you know the authority. You can't have the key unless you know who you are. You are here for one purpose. So that you have authority to have the keys. to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You're not an ambassador for Christ until you know who you are. You can't be an ambassador until you know that every place your foot walks is the promised land. As John Song says, every place you are, every thought you have, every emotion you feel is the city of light. And you'll have a terrible readiness to revenge any disobedience to that revelation. Because now you have cast down the imaginations in all of the high places that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You have brought every thought, every emotion into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the moment that happens, now you have a readiness to revenge all disobedience because your obedience has been fulfilled. You understand me? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And to be an ambassador means what? You have the same authority, the same rank, the same privilege.
You speak as if you are speaking
as if he were he.
Yeah.
That's the legal term of ambassador. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. The fullness of the meaning of Rosh Hashanah. Never again to have anything to do with the old man, the old nature. Not that you have changed and become a nice person or changed and become look different or anything else. Not trying to struggle against something, but ever and always repentance. Ever and always repentance. Ever and always repentance. Now that's why in the wilderness, in the spirit, I would say to you, whether you believe it or not, out of love for you, that we would not go forward as long as one person disagreed. We used to say, all right, we're not doing anything in here until, you know, everybody's stuff is resolved. I'm not going to do that anymore. Now watch. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves. What does that mean? To approve yourself means what?
Present yourself.
To know who you are. To commend yourself openly.
Yeah. Reveal yourself.
To reveal yourself. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. Now we come to this mystery part of how we look to the world. Just like we saw what happened to Christ. Marred more than any man. Giving no offense in anything, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in the tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting. Doesn't matter what it looks like to anyone else. We only know joy.
Yeah.
Not because of any condition of the flesh, We've seen the flesh is totally leprous, incapable of being healed. Not what we see by carnality, by the senses. Not trying to resolve some idiot thing, giving breath to the flesh. Never.
So the offense is the opposite of all of this stuff.
The offense is anything that causes a snare, a trap for the isolated self.
It's the opposite of what you would think, you know.
Well, we already studied that many years ago. Remember, we offending.
Well, now I remember.
Okay. Okay. Now we went all through that list: in imprisonments, and stripes, and tumults, and fastings, and afflictions, and necessities, etc. Right? Doesn't look like that, man. Why in the hell would anybody want this? You still want to be an evangelist? That's why you can't. That's why an evangelist is a non-entity. These idiots that call themselves evangelists are only evangelists for the whore. Because in us it has to be first apostle, a dying seed. Then prophet, you speak what's there. And because you speak, people will come. That's an evangelist. Not some, oh, my ministry is the ministry of evangelism. That's an obscenity to the name of God. It's blasphemy. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you understand? Okay, now. And all those things. But now, the other side. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now we've gone back to contrasts. By honor and dishonor. Who cares? By evil report and good report. Who cares? As deceivers, and yet true. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, but behold, we live. As chastened, and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Now, O ye stealth. Our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. You are not handicapped in us, but you are handicapped in your own emotions. That's what it says. You understand?
Doesn't mean in us. Paul's right.
In my mind,
we don't see you.
I don't see you
right.
As handicapped. Oh, I see you as perfect, innocent, holy, amen. Forgiven, accepted. My job is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's the way I see you.
Yeah.
Until you get on one of your stupid trips.
Oh. You know who you're presenting to? It's one of them. You're presenting to ourselves.
Well,
here you are.
Amen. Okay, now watch. You are not handicapped in my sight, but you're only handicapped in your own innards or in your own emotion. And you all, I mean, look at this. I am nobody's image of a preacher. Nobody's. Except some of you, maybe, and they're really dumb.
Yeah.
But I'm not handicapped in me either. Because I don't see that any longer. Every once in a while I get in an oh poor me bullshit, but I usually get knocked out of it pretty quickly. But I want you to begin to see that I don't see you as handicapped in any way. You are fully equipped for the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I recognize that I see, I recognize that you see yourselves as handicapped. Okay? That's what this is about. Now, for a response to that condition, I speak unto you as my children. Be ye also enlarged in the same that I see what I just said here, that possessing all things, etc., etc. You understand me? Be ye also enlarged. Now here comes the tie. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? In what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as he hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Now he's not talking about escaping from the world. He said that in the first letter. He's talking about escaping from leprosy. Now watch. Wherefore come out from among them, say, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, the three unclean things that had to be purified with the water is what we've been studying. The leper. The one that's touched the dead. And the one that's committed adultery. Now, that water has enabled you, has empowered you to see that you never again have to touch the unclean thing. What is the unclean thing? It has nothing to do with externally, it's here. Touching it means you don't have to give it any breath. You don't even have to have. Again, the symbolism here is wonderful because in the Old Testament, when they took dominion over something, they laid their hands on it. They touched it. You don't even have to touch it. You have dominion.
Yeah.
At any point in time, you have the authority, the right, the key, if you will, to command your soul to be at rest. And it must obey. Because now you've seen the waters flow. You understand me? Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen? Now, Rosh Hashanah, on the feast of Rosh Hashanah, this is going to happen. Just listen, don't go there anyway, just listen. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundances of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now that's what we are about to do in Rosh Hashanah, is come totally and completely out of Babylon, out of the leprous thing, out of the unclean, so that you never again have to touch that unclean thing. Amen? You understand what unclean? In the New Testament, it's a technical term. It means you're unclean. You're unclean means outside the camp. It doesn't have anything to do with sin. It means that you have either done one of three things. You've committed adultery, and you need the water. You've touched a dead body, and you need the water. Or you have leprosy, and you've seen yourself as totally white, and you need the water. Now, there are three witnesses in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are three witnesses in earth. The blood, the water, and the spirit. The three in heaven agree in one, the three in earth agree in one. And by the act of revelation, by the act of hearing, you cause the three in heaven to touch as one, the three in this earth to touch as one, and that instant, electrical phenomena takes place in your brain. Your mind is renewed. You can never again think the same way. But you can't. We couldn't do this until now, until you saw you were totally leprous. Until you saw you were totally rebellious. Now you don't have to touch it. Now it's all Him. Okay, but you see that time and space exists now for the one purpose for us to celebrate Rosh Hashanah in knowledge. But it can't be. Now you have the authority never again to touch the unclean thing. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. Now we'll learn more about this as time continues. But I wanted you to have this revelation before we celebrated Rosh Hashanah. Now we can truly know what the new year is. The head of the year is what Rosh Hashanah means, the head of all years. Because now the seed of woman has bruised or overcome the head of the old. That's what the real meaning of Rosh Hashanah is. Don't touch the unclean thing. I mean, every time, you understand, the propensity to figure it out is in itself the propensity to cover yourself with more leprosy.
Yeah. He's pretty much religious.
You just become religious. Amen? This water stuff has been heavy if you think about it.
Yeah. Real heavy. Heavy water.
Heavy water.
Heavy water. Sorry, heavy
water.
Less necessary for us.
It's just
heavy water.
I mentioned as an aside to my dad when we were talking about this, the fact that there was something in the law that apparently was never done, you know, never took place anywhere else in the Bible, this some water. Instead, you know, Jesus did it for the whole bride because, you know, without that we were totally
outside,
you know,
the camp,
adulterous and everything else. It's like, he looked more alive than I've seen in years.
That's great. That's right. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Did you ever thank your dad for?
Yeah, well, I haven't. This is the first time I've really talked to him, and I forgot all about it.
We ain't kicking no Bible study out.
Any Bible study.
My house. He held it out.
Take it, big guy.